a new career path, a new direction when it comes to your career. Now, there is a very exciting prospect, but unless you know exactly which new career path you are planning to follow, the process can turn out to be frustrating and perhaps disappointing. And look, it's far easier said than done. Well, my next guest is joining us with some timely advice if you're looking at maybe moving in a new direction when it comes to your career. Liam Horne is a director with Slea Nua Careers based in Mayo. And good morning to you and Happy New Year, Liam. And good to have you back on the show.
Same to you, Joe.
So is it a case of fail to prepare to fail?
To a point. I think when it comes to making career change, people often don't have the sort of experience or the wherewithal to do it. What often happens, people, is they run aground in one career. Either a business collapses or they get fed up with the boss or they don't like the work they do. And there can be a tendency for people to go from the frying pan to the fire. So they say, oh, I'm fed up here, and they jump onto the next passing train.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose that's where, and what I'd like to talk about today, is where people need to do certain things to ensure they don't just do that.
Such as?
A better chance.
What do they need to do?
Well, the first one, need to get to know themselves. Now, that sounds unduly sort of pop psychology, but to actually get to know their skills, their attributes, how they're set up, and you know, and I'll talk about how I do that in a moment. But for example, are you the kind of person who likes to meet 20 customers a day? Are you happier in the back office? Do you like researching? Are you consumer focused? Are you all sorts of things? Do you like to manage people? How do you like to be managed? All of that is stuff that is information that people should know about themselves, because that's what, you know, on a day-to-day basis. Say, for example, you don't like managing people. Well, why take on a role then where you're managing five people? Or say if you're asked to manage people in a way that doesn't sit with your natural way of managing people. Say you like to collaborate with people, you're asked to manage people in a more dictatorial way. People make wrong calls all the time about their careers and end up trying to become the square peg in the round hole. So the first thing people should do, particularly, and this is a week, this is a big week for career change for people, is they need to start writing down themselves, words about themselves, get friends to write down words about themselves. You know, use six words to describe me. Am I good communicator? Am I collaborative? Am I private? Am I front of house? Am I this? Am I that? And actually, we can provide some resource material that people can use to work away with it themselves as well. So sort of, it's a bit like, instead of just going out and start to dig the new hole, think about it first and say, right, what kind of a personality have I? What kind of interests have I? Hobbies, things like that as well can be very useful to tell you more about yourself. And if you spend some time just considering all of that, and then you can look at careers and, you know, for example, a very good way of looking at careers list for people is to go through the Golden Pages. Look what's in the Golden Pages. Would I like that job? As friends, would I like that job? Now, obviously, we would encourage people, if necessary, to get professional assistance, but there's a great deal you can do by just thinking more about yourself and developing a kind of a language about yourself.
All right,
and
then,
getting
so,
friends to do that.
Okay, so you've convinced yourself that you have the wherewithal to move into a particular career path.
Mm-hmm.
But then I suppose it's about doing more research in relation to the career that you're looking at, but also talking to people who are already in that line of work.
Yes, and that's another thing that people frequently fail to do or overlook. In fact, people sometimes, first of all, think a job is what it isn't. For example,
mm-hmm.
people think human resources management might be touchy-feely, perhaps, whereas in fact it's quite often quite the opposite, where it's particularly in the current environment. So you need to learn more about the job you think you'd like to do. So let's just say you have established you want to do this new particular career path. Key things to do then are to spend time shadowing a worker in the field, get talking to somebody you know who works in that area, and spend, if you can, a half day, a day, get to know exactly what it's like day to day. Also do research, YouTube, Google, all of these. There's all sorts of resources online now to tell you what it's like day to day working in a particular job. Look at the training courses that might be needed to get you into that career. Are they available locally? Are they part-time? Are they full-time? Can you stay in your current job while you're making transition to the new job or to the new career? all that kind of thing.
And you call this the tasting process. In other words, you know, once you've ticked all the boxes, then and only then should you consider making the move.
Absolutely. I think that what I said at the outset, from the frying pan to the fire, is a very real phenomenon. People get so agitated or bored or whatever the word might be in their current role that they're kind of reaching out and too quick to jump into the next one. And that can prove to be very demoralizing, because then you've gone through a career change process of sorts, but yet you're no happier 6 months down the line. So the tasting is crucial. And you'd be surprised when you write down on a piece of paper, who do I know working in this sector, or who do I know who might be working in this sector? You'd be surprised how many contacts you'll have who can help you. And people tend to be very helpful in this regard, because I think everybody understands the nature of career angst and career frustration. So don't be afraid to ask friends, family, friends of friends, former colleagues, current colleagues for assistance in this. But don't rush it. The biggest point here, a career change is a long-running process. It doesn't. The eureka moments don't really happen often. You've got to really dip your toe in it, see what you think of it. As I said, nothing beats getting a day or two or a week, perhaps, doing work experience, or every Saturday morning getting a bit of experiencing it. Nothing beats that. And the question you need to be asking yourself is, if I was doing this every morning, if I was coming to this building every morning or going on the road doing this job every morning for the next 20 years, would I be happy? And people, particularly in an economy like we're now experiencing, which, although it is probably improving a little bit, is still a very challenging economy, people sometimes diminish their kind of dreams, you know, if you know what I mean. They say, well, you have to take what's going. But if you're really genuine about changing career to achieve career satisfaction, you need to leave that out of the equation as long as you can and see, in an ideal world, where would I get to? And when you establish what is the ideal world, you can work back from there a little bit. But if you put in the economic factors too early, you know, you won't really push the boat out far enough to try to achieve career satisfaction.
All right, but let's leave the money to one side. Of course, it is a factor. There's no doubt about it. People want to better themselves financially. But at the end of the day, especially on a day like today, those of us who are back after an extended Christmas break, it ain't easy. And I'm sure there are many people, again, reminding themselves this morning that I'm not happy in this job. I need to change. But it may only be a symptom of an underlying problem, and it's not necessarily the job that's at issue here.
Yes, there may be other issues. There may be personal issues as well. And when you work, as I do, with people in career change, lots of other factors can come up that need to be addressed in a different arena sometimes. And also people can experience temporary frustration. I mean, it's fanciful to say that we all go to work whistling in the car every day with the excitement of it all. So, you know, the world isn't really like that. So you need to separate the real career angst from just the temporary first Monday in January or first every Monday kind of blues people do experience.
Even the guys and gals who allegedly have the best job in the world, I'm sure at times they also experience the Monday morning blues.
Yes, and it would be, just as it's, you know, not a good idea to jump on the next passing train, it's not a good idea to act on an impulse that may be a fleeting one as well. And that's why you need to look at it in a bit more depth. And another factor people need to consider, maybe they love the kind of work they do, but maybe they don't just love it in this place. So they need to move somewhere 10 degrees left or right. And I have seen people also who have moved sector or moved positions within a company and found great satisfaction three doors up the corridor, if you know what I mean.
But is there such a thing as ultimate career satisfaction?
I think there is. I think a lot of people really enjoy their jobs. And I think as people get older, they often kind of accept that there are the blues we talked about a little bit earlier on, but really, really understand that, you know, this is good. I enjoy this. I get a kick out of this. It challenges me. But, you know, is it ecstatic on an ongoing basis? I don't think that's very feasible for most people. But, you know, I think there's probably some quota of if 8 out of 10 days you go into work really looking forward to it, that's probably very, very good, you know, because every job has its downsides. And I think, but very few people come to it with that in mind. I've met very few people who come to the whole process with that level of expectation that I will never again have a down moment or a down day, you know.
All right, so there's this self-assessment process and doing your research and consulting with those who are already pursuing a particular career that interests you. What's this psychometric testing all about?
This is it's not a fitness test, which also happens in January. It's there's a variety of psychometric testing tools out there, but they're designed to help you get to know your behavioural characteristics, which is a very fancy phrase. Right. It basically elaborates on what I talked about earlier on. It identifies key things about you. Are you front of house? Are you more reclusive than that? Right. Are you research-based? Are you a person who likes to write a lot? Or do you communicate verbally? Do you lead by pointing the finger, or do you lead by putting the arm around the shoulder? There's a whole range of results that a psychometric test or all sorts of psychometric tests will throw up.
Yeah, because I have a theory on this. You know, I've always bought into the leader and the follower. And there are leaders, naturally born leaders, and natural born followers. But maybe there are too many people out there who think they're leaders when they're followers, and not enough people who think they're followers who should be leaders. Am I making sense there? I hope I am.
Yeah. Yes, but there are also different types of leaders as well. So yeah. Are you a Michael O'Leary type leader, or are you a Liam Griffin, Wexford hurling arm around the shoulder type leader?
Yeah.
There are subdivisions as well that, you know, and when you look around your own business community or your school principal or things like that, you'll see the different types of leaders there are. And it's probably more important, it is very important to know, are you a leader or are you a follower or could you be a leader? But it's also important to know what kind of leader you are or what kind of leader you work under. You know, consider for a moment the person who's responsible for the operational side of things in Ryanair the day after Michael O'Leary announces almost apparently on a whim that there's going to be 5,000 free flights next Friday. Somebody working in the background has to pull that together probably almost overnight. So if you're not the kind of person who can work under that kind of a leader, you're not going to achieve career happiness being in that position. So it's a lot about getting to know yourself. And most people have a poorly developed understanding of their own strengths and attributes and behavioural style and that kind of thing.
All right. But one of the reasons why I'm delighted to have you on the show today, you and I, we go back a long, long way, Liam, and you had the top safe pensionable job, the GAA correspondent with the Irish Independent, travelling across Ireland, covering all the big matches, the best seat in Croke Park, an All-Ireland final day, wine and crackers every night of the week, press conferences, and you left it all behind. Why?
It's a different question, but probably a lot of what I have learned since from work and study since about myself would be that ultimately, when you're working in journalism, particularly sports journalism, you're a spectator. You're not a participant. And my nature is to participate. And
But that must have been a huge decision on your part. We all thought you were mad. Why would you want to walk away from this job? But you did. I mean, to make that decision to walk away from the Indo GAA top correspondent, that must have been a huge decision on your part, or was it?
It wasn't as big, actually, as it might sound. It did create some tremors in the sports journalism world at the time, probably, but it wasn't as big a decision. I probably had a scratch beneath the surface for a couple of years before that, and I'd say at the time I probably couldn't articulate it as well as I can now. But basically, as I said, in sports journalism, you're forever watching other people participating, whereas... Yeah. Say in doing what I do now, which is which involves running a business, working directly with people, it's much more engaged or much more rolling up the sleeves and down and dirty, you know.
And more pleasurable, more satisfying.
Yeah, and I mean that's something I would say to people who are looking at career change. It's 15 years ago this week, actually, that I left the Irish Independent. So I was there 5 years, and I'm three times as long out of it as I was in it now. So we're all getting old, Joe. But I never once, and I've had my ups and downs in that 15 years, but I never once questioned that decision. No regrets on that decision. In fact, I would regret smaller decisions or non-decisions more than I would big ones sometimes. But, you know, that's just my makeup. But in career change, I generally find that people, when they get on a new path, they enjoy going there so much that they're not looking back at what they left behind them, you know.
Well, Liam is now a director with Slianua Careers, and they have offices nationwide. So if, as part of your New Year resolution, you're thinking of changing your career path, or if you want to move to something else, but you need some help and some advice, well, www.slianuacareers.com may be in a position to help you. Thanks for talking to us this morning.
Thank you, Joe.
Good morning to you. That's Liam Horan there.